can't normally.
Welcome to Seeds and Their People. I'm Chris Bolden Newsom, farmer and co-director of Sankofa Farm at Bartram's Garden in sunny Southwest Philadelphia.
And I'm Owen Taylor, seed keeper and farmer at True Love Seeds. We're a seed company offering ancestral seeds grown by farmers who preserve their beloved tastes of home for their diasporas and beyond through keeping seeds and their stories in community. This podcast is supported by True Love Seeds and by our listeners.
Thank you so much to our Patreon members at patreon.com/trueloveseeds.
This episode is a compilation of recordings by seed geographer Chris Keeve and my sister Sarah Taylor at our annual growers gathering at our farm in November. They recruited partygoers to their table where they mapped seed stories with strings and notes on a world map and where they asked people to share about how their favorite seeds became their favorite seeds. There are a few recordings at the end that we added after the fact as well. We did this last year too. It's not like our other episodes. It's more of a kind of piecemeal of lots of little stories.
Yeah, kind of a greatest hits. So in that way, it was really different than how we normally take in the stories from our community of seed keepers and farmers. I think it's really beautiful because you get to really taste a sampling of people's sort of deepest experiences around their seeds and around their food ways. So many of our friends and loved ones were interviewed and were sharing some stories that, you know, that even though I've known them for many years, didn't quite know myself. So I think that you're going to really enjoy it. You're going to get to know something about some of the people who grow seeds for us, some of the folks who are a part of this extended constellation of seed keepers that all of you are a part of in some way.
Okay, I'm going to transport you to a party at our seed farm in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania in early November. I'm actually going to start with one of your coworkers, Lex Wiley at Sankofa Community Farm.
Hi, my name is Lex Wiley and I work at Sankofa Community Farm. And I'm connected through True Love because at Sankofa, we grow some seeds for the African Diaspora Collection. And as such, two of my favorite seeds belong to that collection. The first is African rice. My folks are from coastal South Carolina, and so I have a really deep ancestral connection to African rice, but I didn't really understand the significance or the depth of that connection or the stories until I started cultivating that crop at Sankofa. And I think being one of the main stewards of that crop and working with it over the past 4 years, it's really completely revolutionized my relationships to farming and the food that I grow and my community and my ancestry. And yeah, I don't even know where I'd be without it. This is my third year growing rice and it's been our most productive year yet.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Hello, my name's Hannah and I am working at True Love Seeds, and I've been working here for like a while now. It's been the best job I've ever had. The thing that I feel most connected to is black-eyed peas. In second grade, we had to bring in recipes from our culture, which is a really sweet thing to do for a bunch of kids from Queens because everybody has different cultures. And I brought in Hoppin' John, which obviously, if you know Hoppin' John, is a southern black dish based around the black-eyed pea. And so it's really great to be an adult and now be able to grow out black-eyed peas and I think beans in general. But I feel like such joy harvesting beans for seed, especially because it's such a sensory process and you get to like get really good at quickly feeling out if the little bean pods are dry enough. Yeah, it's just really, really lovely and meditative. And that's my favorite thing, I'd say. Oh, and another cool thing about it is that you can hear Well, especially with limas, you can hear if they're done or not. They shake on the vine. So if you think you've gotten everything and you shake the vine and you hear something, oh, go back, get some more limas. But yeah, my seed is the black-eyed pea. I didn't mention any particular black-eyed pea varieties, but I'm very interested in if anybody knows of and cares for personally any like Afro-Carolinian black-eyed peas, especially from South Carolina, especially if anybody has anything that relates to the Santee River at all, or areas around the Santee River. That's it. Thank you.
I am Tamanda, and I am originally from Malawi. I am currently a doctoral student at Texas A&M University. I mostly got interested in True Love Seeds because of the storytelling that the organization is taking, more specifically on their social media pages, on their website, and more specifically on the podcast of which you're all listening to right now. The seed that I want to talk about today is not necessarily my favorite seed, but then I do see it, that it is the seed that connects me with so many other people around the world, and that is corn, Zea maize. This is the staple food of the people of Malawi. We grind it, we make a thick type of porridge, you would say, which is similar to like fufu, but we call it nsima. And we eat that with any type of relish, whether it be beans, vegetables, or any type of meat. And this seed is very significant to me because it translates a story of my upbringing. It translates a story of my roots and my people and the people of Malawi, the people from the region of Africa, from where I'm from. And I do see that it connects us also to so many other people around the world who use this seed, more specifically its produce, as their part of their daily food or part of their diet. It does connect me to also what is known as the origin of this seed, that is around the region of Mexico. And I am not so sure about how corn itself ended up in Malawi, Africa, but that is, I believe, another story worth exploring. Does arise a whole lot of curiosity, so hopefully one other day we may be able to also talk a little bit more about how this seed has spread all over the world and how it even came to be used and consumed more specifically in another region of the world like Southern Africa. Thank you.
My name is Chiamaka. I work on True Love Seeds as an apprentice, and my crop this year has been the cotton. I think my favorite seed of all time, well, not even of all time, but before, I just had a conversation about like imposter syndrome, and I used to seed before I knew that seeding was a thing. And Malabar spinach was my favorite because it was like the first thing I planted. It grew, and then I collected the seeds and then gave it to other people when I was in Panama, and that was cool. I really like cotton right now because I think I like textiles of all kinds, and I want to learn how to make my own clothes, and I think cotton is cool. Okay.
My name is Nate Kleinman. I'm a co-founder, co-director of the Experimental Farm Network, and I work with Ujamaa Seeds as well. And I've been growing for True Love since the beginning. Owen is a board member of EFN. This is, I think, is going to be the first year I actually have an ancestral seed in the True Love catalog, a Nigella sativa, or black seed from Odessa, Ukraine, where my great-grandparents came from. But my favorite seed is the Nanticoke squash. I've been growing the Nanticoke squash for over a decade now. It's a winter squash, Cucurbita maxima, from the Nanticoke people, who are indigenous to southern Delaware, eastern shore of Maryland, and now southern New Jersey as well. The Nanticoke squash is amazing because it's incredibly diverse. You plant a seed and you have no idea what it's going to look like. There's similarities. You can recognize the family relationships, but every plant is different every year. Some of them are pink and blue. Some of them are gray. Some of them are orange. Some of them are green. Some are red. Some are brown. Some are gray. They're really just beautiful, delicious. I like to make gnocchi with them. I sometimes fry them or do other things too. But it really became my favorite seed because it's the first seed that I was able to rematriate to the people who it originated with. Over the past few years, we've deepened the relationship between our organization and the Nanticoke people in New Jersey and the Nanticoke people in Delaware. It's just become a really meaningful and profound experience for me. I actually came here to this True Love Grower Gathering from a Nanticoke squash celebration in Wilmington, Delaware, that was hosted by a Nanticoke organization called Native Roots Farm Foundation. We served Nanticoke squash. I brought a Nanticoke squash salad here as well. And it was a really special day and a really full circle moment. And the founder, Courtney, was really sweet and gave me a bag full of calendula seeds from Odessa, Ukraine, which is one of my ancestral seeds that she grew from a small handful of seeds that I gave her. So a real full circle moment. And Nanticoke squash, that's my favorite seed, hands down.
Hi, I'm Olivia Gamber. I'm not associated with any particular farm. I grow seeds on land in Camden, New Jersey right now, where my Quaker meeting has some little bit of land. I've been trying to grow two different seed varieties for True Love Seeds for about 3 years now, and I'm still doing increases, so we haven't gotten to a full seed crop yet. My favorite seed is my very first ancestral seed, which is named Heilige, Heilige Boon, which means holy bean in Dutch. I got it originally from Nate Kleinman, who got it out of the National Plant Germplasm Bank. And it is originally from the Netherlands. And Heilige means holy bean, which they call it that because the pattern on the bean looks like a little angel, a little red angel. And so it was my first ancestral seed, and I'm really excited to be finally growing it out big enough to finally sell through True Love. It's been with me since I started my seed keeping journey, and it's kind of become a good friend. And my other bean that I have is called the O'Driscoll pole bean, which I also found sort of through Nate, because he found somebody on Instagram who shared a story about how they grew a bean with my name on it. So he forwarded it to me and was like, your name is on this bean. And we reached out to the stranger on Instagram who was growing it out in Minnesota. And this woman named Angie from the Minnesota Urban Gardens Project sent them to me. And it turns out they're from England, where my family is also from. So we must share some common ancestors because we share the same name. And this is what they sound like. That's all.
Hi, I'm Linda Clark, and my farm is called Strawflower Farm. It's in Glen Mills, PA. I found my farm because I was growing flowers at my rented property and was searching for my own farm to buy. And I took some flowers to a community potluck. And while there, an elderly man came up to me and said he had a farm nearby and he was getting too old to run it. He was 80. And he had a whole bunch of straw flower seedlings that he couldn't get in the ground. He just couldn't get down on the ground and plant them. And if I wanted to come pick them up, I could. So I went over there the next day and I walked around in shock because it was my dream farm. I had written everything down on a piece of paper that I wanted my farm to be. And this was everything I had written. And we walked around and he happily showed me his farm. And he said, I'm getting really old. I have to move into a retirement community. And developers are trying to buy my land and put condos on it. And I don't want to sell to them. I want to sell to a farmer. And I said, well, I'm a farmer. Will you sell to me? And I wasn't very much of a farmer. My farm at my rented property was pretty small. But he said, yes, I would sell to you. And I thought that was so cool. And we said goodbye. And I went home with my straw flowers. And I told David this fun story. I thought that was the end. And then the man texted me and he said, if you're serious, my wife and I would like to come over and talk to you Sunday morning. They came to my house, we talked, we shook hands, and he said we could buy his farm once he got the phone call that his retirement community had a space for him. So I spent the next year and a half apprenticing with him, and so did my partner. My partner learned all the infrastructure of the farm, the wells, the solar panels, the tractors, the tools, the buildings, everything. And I learned the farming from him. Then they got their call and they moved to California, and we bought the farm and we're there at Strawflower Farm. And then a cool thing that happened, I met Owen because of my strawflowers, because he saw them growing when he went to visit. Before I bought it, I was starting to grow there. So he came to visit Jack, who owned the farm at that time. And he saw my strawflowers and he said, "My sister loves strawflowers. And these strawflowers are amazing. I never saw such tall strawflowers. Would you be interested in selling for our company?" And I had no idea what that meant, but I looked it up and started doing it. And it's the two best things I've done in my old age is buy my farm and meet Owen and everybody at True Love Seeds. The end.
I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My name's Gabe Lewis, and I'm a farmer at Seeded Farm, and we grow several varieties for True Love Seeds, and we're in Virginia, and last year we grew the Cherokee Purple Tomato, and it did okay. We maybe got like a handful of seeds, and we were like, okay, wig, go off. And then this year we planted them, same amount, same footage, it was like 50 feet. Of tomatoes again. And this season we harvested like 40 pounds every other day, to the point where like I was like, if people really love fresh tomatoes, they need to thank a farmer right now for just the amount of like visceral like experience of like reaching into a tomato plant and feeling a rotten tomato and going, I don't know if I will ever want to touch another tomato. But the harvest was amazing. The yield was so great, but I will never get the smell out of my nose. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Cassandra. I'm the farm manager at Haverford College in the Philadelphia area. My introduction to seeds happened when I was first farming and I was learning from former scientists, and I asked about seeds. And they said, oh, it's really complicated and everybody thinks it's simple and it's not. And I totally got intimidated and scared off of seeds and was like, yes, I will buy all my seeds. And then I moved to the Philadelphia area where there's a lot of seed keeping traditions and True Love, and learned that seeds are very accessible. I'm excited to start saving my own seeds and growing them at my farm.
Okay, here comes our first paid ad. Very exciting. This comes from an old friend, Alex Fisher, and a collective of bookkeepers that actually another former student from when we worked at the farm school in New York City is also a part of. So I'm going to read it. Here it goes. Please support them because they support us and farmers like you. Did you know that the community-supported agriculture model actually came out of a financial need to address cash flow for small farms? Does your farm or organization need support with its finances? Do you want to learn about values-aligned financial management? A bookkeeping cooperative offers a range of services, including bookkeeping, consulting, and engaging online workshops to develop the skills and confidence of those working towards a just world beyond capitalism. Sign up at www.bookkeeping.coop. Again, the name of this bookkeeping cooperative is A Bookkeeping Cooperative, ABC.
Hey everyone, if you're enjoying this show, you may also like the No-Till Market Garden Podcast with co-hosts Mimi Castile, Natalie Lansbury, and yours truly, Alex Ball. We interview growers, researchers, and others in the sustainable ag community about everything from soil-first farming practices to farm business management in the wild world of soil biology and health. So head over to your favorite podcast platform today and subscribe to the No-Till Growers Network.
My name is Ren, and I'm a filmmaker, and I'm connected to True Love Seeds through Owen and Chris. Initially shot a short documentary about them for the Brooklyn Botanical Garden a couple years ago, and have since worked on a number of projects alongside True Love Seeds, documenting the beautiful work that they do here.
Hi, my name is Ashley Gripper. I run a small organization, small business called Land-Based Strawns, and we do different types of education and workshops for Black women, Black femme folks in Philly around safety and self-defense, agriculture, carpentry, and just land-based living all around. And largely, Land-Based Strawns was born from some of the work that I did and the skills and what I learned when I worked at Sankofa Community Farm under the mentorship of Chris Bolden Newsom, Ty Holmberg, Laquanda Dobson. And that's how, you know, I know True Love Seeds, I know Owen. I'm in this ecosystem of growers and land-based, food-based folks in Philadelphia. So we kind of have had overlapping journeys over the years.
Our seed story is sunflower seeds. They were an instrumental part of our recent marriage and the ceremony that we created.
We thought about, you know, as we were planning this ceremony, we were like, what would make it intentional? How do we, you know, do something that symbolizes us bringing our worlds together? And we chose, you know, we were back and forth about what kind of seed did we want to pass around? Did we want to do wildflowers? Did we want to do okra? Did we want to do, you know, black-eyed peas? And we landed on sunflowers because that's something that we share, because both me and Ren love sunflowers. I think they're some of our favorite flower, or one of our favorite flowers.
So we decided on the sunflower, and we actually harvested a giant sunflower from our community garden that we developed on our block some years ago.
And we also got three or four smaller sunflowers from True Love Seeds. Owen invited me to harvest some sunflowers for the ceremony because him and Chris had something similar at their wedding.
And when we brought together our kind of closest group of people, our chosen family, we had everybody pick an actual sunflower seed or a variety of seeds from the head. And they would hold those seeds, and we circled back up in a big circle. Ash and I were also a part of the circle across from each other on opposite sides. Each person in the circle, you know, we passed around a little jar, and each person had the opportunity to share the seed that they were committing to sharing, you know, what it was that they were offering and committing to supporting us in our future. And in doing so, they would, you know, put their seed in this jar and pass it around. In the meantime, every kind of step of the way, Ash and I took a step closer to each other until we got to the center of the circle. At the end of them sharing, we, Ash and I, kind of put our backs to each other and then planted the seeds of the people that are there to hold us up. And then, you know, we'll be planting all of those seeds in our garden of our new home. So we'll have the support of our loved ones and community there with us.
So we both love sunflowers. They speak to and connect with both of us in different ways. They're so big. They can be so small. They also help remediate the soil in so many ways. They're strong. They're stronger when they're planted together and next to each other because they kind of hold each other up. So for me, you know, I think about sunflowers as an example for how we can live our lives. Oh, people eat them. And that's a fun part about this ceremony is that, you know, a lot of my friends and family are from Philly, never really farmed or gardened. So some of them had never even seen where sunflower seeds came from. So we kind of gave that context too. It's like, did y'all notice them little sunflower seeds that you get with ranch seasoning and stuff in the pack? This is where it comes from. So to see that kind of like childlike amusement on people's face and curiosity was really sweet and special. We wanted people to plant seeds in our relationship.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's kind of obvious, but the importance that our family and community have in our lives, but also in supporting our relationship. And so the idea of folks kind of seeding our love and offering to our commitment to each other felt both symbolically really powerful and also just really heartwarming, and it felt like it really lifted us up. And so the fact that we have like this actual physical symbolic reminder of their commitment to us and their love for us, both as individuals and as a couple, is something, you know, we'll be able to see every spring and summer in our new home. So that's it'll be a helpful and lovely reminder of that love.
Hi, my name is Nikki Uy. I'm part of Bahay 215. We started working with True Love Seeds in 2020. It's been a really wonderful journey. The first time that we came to True Love Seeds, there was also a Filipinx apprentice here, Kai Delgado. And Owen worked really hard to make sure that our group was coming on the day that Kai was working here. And Kai, you know, we didn't want to like take up space or bother people because they were working on the farm. But I remember that Kai said, no, Nikki, we need, even though we'd never met, they said, you know, we need to make time to do land work together. And that was just a really special way to start our official relationship with True Love Seeds, even though we had been following, I think, their work even before that. One of the seeds that I wanted to talk about was Siling Labuyo, which is now being grown by Star Apple Farm in Philadelphia for the True Love Seeds catalog. And the seed had originally come from my mom. My mom's not really a grower, a farmer, so I think it makes it even more special that she gave these Siling Labuyo seeds to me in a napkin maybe 8 to 10 years ago. And I was growing them, in my opinion, badly, because I was growing them in like on windowsills at, I had an office on the 9th floor, in my bedroom window, in containers that didn't have drainage, because sometimes I wasn't able to keep up with watering, and that's what worked for me. And when bidders started to look for seed stock to grow Siling Labuyo, they weren't able to find any that worked. And so I said, well, we have my mom's seeds. I don't know how they'll do for you. But they actually germinated at over an 80% rate, so it's kind of very fulfilling. And so that's the seed that's in the catalog now.
Is it my turn? Okay. Hi, my name is Omar. I'm also part of Bahay 215. I'm going to talk about my favorite seed. My favorite seed is the bitter melon called Ampalaya in the Philippines. I like it not just because I eat the vegetable, the fruit, but the shape of the seed is like jaggedy. It's like it's so different from any other seeds that you see around. Beautiful. It's a beautiful looking seed. And every year we plant that in our garden in the backyard, and it goes up in the pergola, and then it starts dropping the fruits when it's ready. And it's really nice. We cook it for breakfast usually. We put it in a scrambled egg, onions and garlic, and then we just make a scrambled egg with it, and it's good.
It's like our favorite way to eat it.
Yeah, it's our favorite way to eat it. Another thing about the bitter melon in the U.S., kids are like, no, I don't want to eat my broccoli. That's our equivalent of broccoli. When I was a kid, I hated ampalaya. It does have a weird aftertaste, but it's like a memory of home now. And then I actually enjoy it now. Maybe my taste bud changed. And lastly is when we were a friend chef of ours told my son one time, "You're not a real man until you eat ampalaya." So he's trying, but I think he ate it one time. Yeah, I think he's getting there. Yeah, so he's almost a real man. He's 19 though, but yeah, not yet until he enjoys it. Yeah. That's all.
I'm a real man because I eat ampalaya.
Yes, you are. Yes,
son. I'm Ira. My pronouns are they and he. And I am Omar and Nikki's child. It's been really great being able to get to know seeds and where I came from in such a special way through my family. True Love Seeds is like a big part of that, so I'm incredibly like grateful to be able to have that space and feel so like culturally connected to things like bitter melon and Siling Labuyo. I think it really helps me connect with others in a way that I feel like I haven't been able to before. And oh, it's meaningful in a way that's very special to me, and makes me feel connected to where I'm from, and it makes me feel like I'm home.
Thank you. The end.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, I'm Sam. I grow with Seeded Farm in Alexandria, Virginia, and a crop or seed that I've been hoping to learn about is cabbage. I've been really interested in learning about fermenting cabbage and making sauerkraut, and listening to some of the stories of people who would gather before winter and they would just grab some salt and the cabbage that they had grown and make sauerkraut. And I tried to make sauerkraut this year and I didn't do very well. So I'm interested in trying to grow some more cabbage and to save some seed. I haven't saved any cabbage seed yet. Our farm saved some collard seeds, and so we didn't want any crossing. But I'm excited next year or the year after maybe to, you know, meet a couple of different cabbage varieties and Eastern European varieties, and continue trying to learn to make sauerkraut and preserve some foods for winter.
Hi, I'm Owen Taylor. I'm one of the co-founders of True Love Seeds and a co-host of this podcast. And I have a hard time answering the question, what is your favorite seed? I mean, we grow, you know, maybe 100, 125 different varieties here at our farm. And to pick one is hard, but I'm thinking of the question more of what am I most excited to take home with me? And that is usually sauce tomatoes. We grow San Marzano tomatoes, which are kind of the classic Southern Italian cooking tomato. And I'm always excited to take as many of those home as possible because they do make a really good tomato sauce. This year we grew the cow's nipple tomato from an older Italian-American gentleman that we got through the Italian Garden Project. And those were really beautiful tomatoes. I'm excited to grow them on a much larger scale this year. They were a nice density and a nice flavor. But I always love taking home the San Marzano. But honestly, I take home, you know, any and all of our tomatoes that have been squeezed out to remove the seeds. It's kind of the first step anyway of making tomato sauce. And so I take home buckets and buckets, and I make 7 quarts at a time, because that's how many our hot water bath canning pot hold. And I aim for about 50 quarts a year, which give us about a quart a week in the house to work with. And we usually cook Sunday dinner with a quart of tomato sauce somehow, you know, whether it's pasta puttanesca or eggplant parmesan or even like a West African dish where we make a sauce from peppers and tomato sauce and other seasonings. So that's the plant that we grow that I'm most excited to take home with me. But it's also a lot of work. Like when I'm bringing home buckets of squeezed out tomatoes at the end of the workday, I know that I have like 2 to 3 hours of work ahead of me at home, where I have to wash them and cut off any bad parts or stems, put them in the pot with some salt, and let them cook down, often overnight. The canning process, you know, once I do the immersion blender and make it more like a sauce consistency, you know, then the canning process takes a while to get them into the jars, sterilize the jars and the lids, and then 40 minutes of hot water bath canning. But it's so worth it. I've come to absolutely love the umamis of a tomato sauce. I mean, I grew up eating a lot of tomato sauce, but now I can see how it improves almost any dish. So I just love canning tomatoes, sauce tomatoes. And it connects me to my ancestors, as, you know, I've talked about many times, my Southern Italian great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents who came here. I remember Grandpa Mike growing tomatoes in his garden. And I've read about my great-great-grandfather growing tomatoes for my great-great-grandmother to can. And so it's just a ritual at this point, a delicious ritual that connects me to them and where I come from and makes all of our food taste better.
My name is Ruth. I'm from Austria. And I come to True Love Seeds and to Sankofa to help here as a volunteer since 3 years. I really enjoy my time here. I learned so much from Owen and Chris and their community. And it's really like every day here at the farm is a joyful one. I really love all the seeds and all the seed work, because each of them is very different one from the other one. I also learn a lot about myself, about my own identity. So I'm going to talk about that through seeds. One of my favorite seeds is a dandelion, because I have a beautiful childhood memory, like taking them and blowing them, you know, when the seed was ready. I did that while we were on walks with my grandmother and mother. It's very beautiful childhood memories. There's something light about it, also something productive, even though the plant didn't need me to help spreading the seed, because the wind could do that naturally. Well, also, like with my father, we go into the field before, you know, before they put, you know, some fertilizer there, you know, and then just before that time we go into the field and we collect the dandelion root with a knife. And he showed me how to do that, so because he has a hard time bowing down now, it's often me doing that, and then later at home my mom is going to clean it, or maybe now also it's more me doing that. But he always used to do that, and we made a very nice salad with onion, and I really loved that salad. It had some tiny bitter taste to it, and also nutty taste from the root. I really loved that. Also, I asked my father, because he told me that my grandmother and grandfather had a garden. They didn't grow very much, but they grew something that I found here on the farm that I really love very, very much. It's dahlia. My father said that my grandfather had most likely red ones. That's what he remembers. And he remembers digging out each year before the winter came, the dahlia tubers, which we just did here this week. So I'm very connected to the dahlia, and I'm always so grateful to Owen that I can take some home. And they give me a lot of joy and connect me to my grandmother. Also, they grew some beans, and I don't know which beans they grew, but I researched a little bit, and in Austria there's like, especially in this area, people grew a lot the fava bean, because it was growing well in high altitudes and it was very nourishing, or is very nourishing. So I found that very interesting, and I would like to know more about that bean and try to grow it. It seems hard to get nowadays, so I will try to find it and grow it. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, my name is Miki, and I work for True Love Seeds on the farm. How did my favorite seed to keep become my favorite seed to keep? That's easy. The first hot August day that Owen walked out of the field to lunch carrying an Odell's white watermelon on his shoulder, I was so grateful, because when you've worked all morning in the sun and still have hours of work ahead of you, only watermelon makes it feel possible. He split it open on the table and set out 2 buckets, one for Reince for his chickens and one for the seeds. Watermelon is very important in my family. It is part of any summer dinner at my parents' house, aunts and uncles, cousins, and ours too. There is a story in my family about watermelon. It was sometimes told by my grandmother Satako or Sally, and sometimes told by my grandfather Arnold. I recorded my grandfather telling it, since my grandmother is no longer here to share it with us. The version he tells here is a little softer than the one I remember, but maybe that is okay. I am sitting with him in my aunt's living room with my cousin Emily. Emily and I sound a lot alike.
They had a plot, but it was quite a ways from the house. And when the watermelon started, blooming, they couldn't protect them. They had to sit right down there in the watermelon patch trying to protect them.
How'd they do that?
Well, you know, if you got a plot about as big as this room, you sit in the middle of it and you watch all night. Make sure somebody don't steal watermelons before you get them. That's all they had to do, was you go down there and protect them at night. But it's just like it is here, you know. If you had the watermelon patch, you got to protect it somehow.
What was special about the watermelon?
They loved the watermelon. But they were, you know, they were Americans. Or had been here enough that they thought they were Americans. And so they enjoyed the watermelon.
And it was an American watermelon, right? From Michigan?
Yeah. The real watermelons. All I knew is he said, "We've got watermelon. Where'd you get watermelon?" "Well, you sent seeds from the States over here." "Oh, and they grow over here?" "Yep, they grow over here just as well." Well, it wouldn't be too long and they'd figure out how to get their own seeds, probably.
Our grandma was Nisei, or second-generation Japanese-American, born to Japanese immigrant parents. Her fathers and uncles worked in the citrus orchards north of Los Angeles before moving to Sawtelle in West LA and starting a nursery and landscaping business. During World War II, they were forced from their home and incarcerated first in Manzanar at the base of the Sierra Nevada mountains, and then eventually in Tule Lake on the California-Oregon border. At the end of the war, my great-grandparents decided to move their family to Japan, a place my teenage grandmother had never been. Because she spoke English, she was able to get a job on a U.S. military base where she met my grandfather. She returned with him to the U.S., to his parents' dairy farm in Michigan. When she would tell me about sending seeds back to her family's farm in Fukuoka, she would talk about sending them seeds from the big Klondike watermelon, and hold her hands up in the air 2 feet apart so that I could imagine her brother sleeping out in the field at night, protecting the giant fruit.
Thank you so much to Chris Keeve and Sarah Taylor for recording, and to all of the voices you heard on this episode whose names are in the show notes. Thank you so much to Emilio Sweetcole for helping edit this episode all the way across the country in California. This is our first time having editing help on the podcast, and we're really grateful for it and really excited about it.
And thank you for listening and sharing this episode of Seeds and Their People with your loved ones. Please share this episode with someone you love and subscribe to our show in your favorite podcast app. And thank you also for helping our seedkeeping and storytelling work by leaving us a review and also ordering seeds, t-shirts, and more from our website.
TrueLoveSeeds.com. And again, if you'd like to support our podcast for $1 or more monthly, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/TrueLoveSeeds.
And remember, keeping seeds is an act of true love for our ancestors and our collective future.